Amen. All right, let's turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. And we are going to look at chapter 3 and just a few verses there tonight before we celebrate the Lord's Supper. As you know, in our study in Philippians, key verse in chapter 1, to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, chapter 1, verse 21. Chapter 2 and verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're now in chapter 3, where we began by looking at a right attitude, rejoice in the Lord. And then there was the warnings, beware, and the admonition, we are the true circumcision. This is what does that mean? Who are we? What does that mean? And then last week we looked at how Paul went through his list of every reason why he could be confident in the flesh. But really, that doesn't matter. That's not what cuts it. Your credentials. No matter who your parents were, or what your education was, or your passion, or even your religious dedication, that's not what matters. Paul's superior, highest motive in life was knowing Christ. Jesus is Lord. So tonight, we're going to just continue on that thought by looking at verses 7 through 9. So I'm in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. The Bible says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. I'd like to draw out some of the ways that Paul made some decisions in life. These decisions that you're seeing here, I'm counting it loss. That's a consideration in his mind. He's considered this, he's reckoned this, and this is his decision. And I want to draw your attention to verse 7. Here we see that this is a decision he made long ago. I have counted, he says, loss, what things were gained to me. And I did that for Christ. This was a decision that he had made a long time ago, a decision that had been made in the past and completed in the past with continuing ramifications. So in other words, here he is, he's just given his list of credentials, and all of those past credentials are a loss. And Christ is gain. You know, the credentials are that which he can boast in and what you and I can boast in. It's those things that we've worked hard for and have attained as individuals. And Paul very much had much to boast in. But yet what we see here is, no, that's loss. What's gain? It's Christ. And what is powerful is that he has made that decision already. That decision was something he made back in the past. Most likely it was the decision that he made recently, very quickly after his conversion to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you remember his conversion was quite dramatic on the road to Damascus. He was blinded. And at that point, he was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. At that point, the trajectory of his life went 180 degrees change. From being a prominent Pharisee to being one of the way, the very people he was persecuting as a Pharisee, now he's one of them. His life changed. This is all loss, but I have gained Christ. And he made that decision in the past, and here he is in a prison and writing to the church in Philippi. most likely has maybe 5 more years to live. He doesn't know that, but we know that from history, where he will be martyred. So in verse 7, we see the decision is made long ago. He has set his course. These were loss, Christ is gain. Is that a guiding perspective in your life? Have you made that decision already in the past and say, you know what? It's not about me anymore. It's not about me. It's not about the successes and the gains that I can have. It has my name on it. But it's about Christ. Dear ones, you make that decision, and then that decision will dictate and help you as you proceed through life, as you look back, as Paul is doing and saying, you know what, I made that decision a long time ago. All those things, loss. Look at the first part of verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. You notice there's a similar theme here. There's a repetition of counting things loss. In the first part of verse 8, we see a decision that's made every day. You see the verb there, and I am, yea, doubtless, and I count. That's a present tense. I am counting all things but loss. This is something that he is doing on a regular basis. So he has made the decision in the past. This is the way I'm going to view my past credentials. But you know what? Today, my present successes, anything that could be credited to me and to my account, I'm going to say, you know what? That's a loss as well. Why? Because the true gain is the excellency, that superior, the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Knowing Christ. That's where it's at. And today I make that decision. You know, I'm just encouraged by Paul's testimony here, because yes, he might have made that decision in the past. I'm going to live for Christ. To die is gain. I live for Christ. All my past credentials are lost. But you know what? That's a decision he needs to wake up every day, you know what, and say, I count loss, the things that have my name on it. Because what's gain is the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Is that what guides us today? Are we keeping in mind what it means to be a follower of Christ and how important it is that we are devoted to knowing Christ rather than devoting to bettering ourselves and our own successes? And I'm not preaching against doing good things and working hard and being promoted and all of those things. But you know what? The attitude of the heart can really start to count on those things. And those things can become our God. Especially if you're good at it. Especially if you're powerful. If you've had a lot of success. No problem with that. But make sure you maintain the attitude here. You know what? I make this decision today to count loss all things today for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now verse 8, look at it again. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now look at this. For whom, Christ, I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. There in the middle of the verse, I have suffered loss. So we've talked about some decisions that Paul has made. I have counted these things loss. I am counting these loss. And now we see an experience. Here he says, I have suffered the loss. So this is no longer just this considering things lost, but this is bringing in the life experience, the actual reality of, you know what, it means to lose something. What it means to count these things as loss. And he uses this verb that speaks of the suffering the loss, to lose. This is the experience that he has had already in the past. He says, "For whom, Christ, I have suffered the loss of all things." Why? For Christ Jesus, my Lord. He has experienced loss in his life. He has suffered. And the very reason is because Christ Jesus is my Lord. That's the reason. That's the reason. And that is his testimony. That's what's happened in his past. It's in his life. Oh, and you know how he has chronicled in several places the list of things that have gone on in his life. Being whipped and suffering shipwreck, and the list goes on. You could look at this as the experience of loss from his position as a Pharisee, as one of great authority. Think about that experience. What when you go from somebody in authority, somebody that is respected, somebody that is A-okay, and you go to the opposite extreme, think about the experience that is. Think about the challenge that that has to a person's life. But this all pales in comparison to making Jesus Christ number one. As Paul considers these experiences in his life and the hardships, the things that he has suffered, whether they be physically or mentally, he says, hey, it's all worth it. All those things I suffered, but you know what I've gained? It's Christ Jesus my Lord. That's the reason. You know, as you experience in life the loss, the sufferings of loss because you are a Christian, because you declare Jesus Christ to be your Lord, you're not alone. Paul has dealt with this. I mean, he just gave us this incredible list of how the credentials of how high and mighty and authoritative he was, and now here he is, this apostle has suffered much. And this is what his testimony is. You look at the last part of verse 8, and you see another decision that he has made every day. Look at this. "And I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." What is he counting as dung? And do we know what dung is? We're in farm country, right? If we were to say what dung is, this is the stuff that comes out of the back end of an animal, right? This really is a depiction of something that is detestable. Something that when we think about it, we cringe, right? So here he is drawing this, bringing this word picture to us. And it's in the context of "I'm counting as dung all things that I may win Christ." This is a decision he's making every day. That verb is present tense. I am counting as dung all things that I may win Christ. Boy, what a great challenge for us on a daily basis as we wake up and we think about go through our day, and as we make decisions about our day, that we are living for Christ and realizing that anything that seeks to push us away from that is detestable. Oh God, give us an appetite to win Christ with our lives. And when we say win Christ, it's the idea of acquiring who he is in the fact of what it means, what Christ represents. His work on the cross and his resurrection, and Paul's going to bring more of that out in the following verses. But here you have this decision that Paul's making every day, and this is about perspective. You see, because that bringing that picture of the dung in helps us. It's a word picture. It's this the way you're looking at things. And Paul is saying, all of these wonderful things that have my name on it are detestable. So you see, my perspective on these things is they're detestable. It's like dung. But you know what is? What is true success? What is good? Is winning Christ. That my life may be such that it bears the testimony of Jesus. Is that true for you and me? And so verse 9 continues on that same theme. Another decision he makes every day. I'm counting as dung all things that I may be. And those of you that are, you know, like grammar, look at this here. You can see at the end of verse 8, see that word, that I may win Christ? See that there? And then you look at verse 9, and be found in him. Those are the same kind of verbs, and they create a pair. And so here he's counting all things as dung that I may, first of all, win Christ, and second of all, verse 9, that I may be found in him. That I may be found in him. In Christ, as one having the righteousness which is of God by faith. So if he has the present perspective of all things, counting them as dung, for first, success is winning Christ, and the second success is being found in Christ, having his righteousness. Is that what means success in your life? I'm winning Christ, and I'm being found in Christ, having his righteousness. That implies that anyone that looks into your life, whether it be God or whether it be men, as they look at your life, what are they seeing? Verse 9 continues, but and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, because Paul certainly, he had much to boast about, didn't he? He could say he had a lot of his own righteousness. But no, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Big difference. This is a big difference in life. This is a big difference that we need to understand. You see that his own righteousness is of the law. The righteousness of God is through the faith of Christ. You see, the law demanded complete obedience. The law could not be kept by anyone except for one person ever did it, and that was Jesus Christ. But we see that the righteousness of God is through faith. You see, through the law, the Jews kept on working and working to gain merit with God. But yet with faith in Christ, it was given to them. It is given to those who trust in Christ. You know, that this picture of being found is this, I'm reminded of one time we were at camp, and we lost one of our boys. When I say lost, that sounds horrible, but we couldn't find him. And he was just a little guy. And so we begin the frantic look, and we're looking all around. And you want to know what the state that we found him in? The state we found him in was he was trying to be lost. He was hiding. And we looked in, we saw him in the weeds, ducked down in his little, shall I say, the color of his hair. We could see it just sticking out there amongst the green. And he was found, but he was found to be an individual who was not just lost innocently, but one who was lost purposely. And it's just that picture of being found as people, as God would gaze into our lives and see us. What are they finding? What is God finding? Is he finding an individual that is just working hard, doing the duties of the law, just trying to fulfill the law so that he or she can walk home that day and say, I did it. I did it. Or is it a matter of an individual who is seeking to live a life that, yes, is guided by the Word of God, but what matters is that Christ and His righteousness is seen and portrayed. Wow. It's that idea of doing things that only make sense if Christ is involved. Your attitude, your reaction to something that takes place at work. Is your response such as, well, this is just the right thing to do and I'm going to do it no matter what, but I'm going to have an attitude about it. But I did the right thing. Or is it, you know what? Yeah, I maybe got taken advantage of there, but I live for Christ. I live for Christ. And people will look at, and I'll be found to have this righteousness that is of Christ, that Christ is the explanation for that action, or for the attitude, or for the words. Yeah. So when anyone sees my life, when anyone sees your life, what do they see? Do they see somebody really working hard, but they see you? Or do they see somebody that, yeah, they may be working hard, but they see Christ? Is your faith alive to the point that you are living for Christ and not yourself? If anyone was to label your life, what would they say about it? Would they say that you're a person of faith in Christ? In other words, that person has a confidence in God. Yeah? Or the other option would be this. That's a person that's just seeking to better themselves. They've got a confidence in the flesh. What is it? What is it in your life? Do you have a confidence in God? Is that what is portrayed by your life? Of course, Paul is speaking against the confidence of the flesh, but that's the other option. And boy, that's so easy, isn't it? That's the natural bent. That's the natural bent. Lord Jesus, thank you for the time that we could spend in the Word, so rich. Encouraging. I thank you for these decisions that Paul made, and we get to understand and know them. I thank you, Lord, for what it means. What's the right perspective in life? Oh God, I've already preached. You take your word. You use it. May it reap fruit in my life, in the life of others. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I ask the deacons to come forward, and we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper here as we close out our day. I preached about baptism today, one of the ordinances, and here we tonight we get to do the other, the celebration of the Lord's Supper. The Lord Jesus told us to do this regularly. And why? Well, because this is a consistent reminder of what Christ has done for us. You know, on the front of this table, it says, "This do in remembrance of me." Jesus. Remember Jesus. And what is so significant about Christ? It's the gospel, right? It's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. So tonight, I invite you to partake if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus. If you know him. Again, Paul in 1 Corinthians 11 challenged the church, if there's sin in your life that you're not dealing with, you're encouraged to confess that, make that right before the Lord, walk in his forgiveness. Because we're celebrating what Christ did to gain that forgiveness for you. So in the times of quiet, as the music is played, it's time of meditation, time of prayer, time of celebrating what Christ has done, but also examining of your heart. Lord, I want to thank you for your body. And even tonight, as we pass around, Lord, the crackers and the bread that is representing your body tonight, I pray, Lord, that you will allow our hearts to just boast and glory in you. Thank you for coming to this earth, taking on the form of a man, of a servant. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul wrote 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I have received the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's partake. Oh, Lord, we take our time doing this, God, because this is sacred. Lord, the reality of the gospel in our lives has changed us forever. And Lord, we partake now of this juice representing your blood. And Lord, life is in the blood, your word says. And we know, God, that you gave your life that we might have forgiveness of sin. So God, just impress upon us again tonight the wonder of salvation. It's grace, mercy. And Lord, instill within us joy. In Jesus' name.